There are certain things in life that I cannot do if something important is missing. Let me give you a few examples. I cannot send a letter if it doesn't have a postage stamp on it, right? If I fail to put a stamp on a letter and put it in the mailbox, it'll come right back to me if it has a return address on it. The postal delivery system will not work if I don't put a stamp on a letter, right? I cannot drive my car without gasoline in the tank. Brother Dave says, hallelujah for that, eh? Without gasoline in the tank, our vehicles won't go very far, will they? I cannot take a bath without water in the tub, right? It's impossible to take a bath without water in the tub. This morning we're going to discover several things that we cannot do without prayer. There are several things that we cannot do or cannot have if prayer is missing in our lives. This message this morning is entitled, Without Prayer. Without Prayer. We believe in prayer, amen? There is power in prayer, amen? We have seen that many, many times here at Gospel Chapel in the less than 2 years that this church has been in existence, and we will continue to go to the Lord in prayer. But there are several things, folks, that we cannot have or things that we cannot do if we neglect prayer. The first thing I would say to you this morning is, without prayer, I cannot have nonstop joy. Without prayer, I cannot have nonstop joy or continuing joy. If you'll notice in verse 18 of our text this morning, God's word says, what then? Only that in every way, he says, notice that, in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and then, in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Now, the question that might come to our minds as we read this verse, understanding, of course, that it's the Apostle Paul who wrote these words, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course, how could the Apostle Paul be so sure that he would continue to be glad? Yeah, I mean, he might have been glad at the very moment that he was inspired by God to write this, but how could the Apostle Paul be sure that he would continue to be glad tomorrow, next month, next year, if he lived that long? How could he be so confident that he would continue to be in a joyful mood? We know that he wrote this letter, as I said to you earlier, to the Christians in the city of Philippi, but where was the Apostle Paul when he wrote these inspired words of God? Well, if you did a little Bible study, you would find that at the time God used him to write these words, the Apostle Paul was being held as a prisoner in Rome. So, how could Paul be so sure that he would continue to rejoice? I mean, you know, things are not always happy in a jail cell. It's not always a joyful time in life if you are confined to a certain place and do not have freedom to go and do things as you please. So how could Paul be so sure that no matter what was happening to him, no matter how many bad things might come against him, how could he be so sure that he would continue to be joyful? Well, I believe that it tells us here, Paul was confident that he would continue to rejoice because he believed that prayer works. Because he believed that prayer works. The most important thing, prayer must change if I'm going to experience continuous rejoicing, folks, is me. Prayer must also change my no's into yeses. And prayer, folks, has the ability to change our attitudes. Prayer has the ability to change our minds. Prayer must change our wills so that we have a will that's in alignment with God's will for our lives. And prayer has the ability to do that. Prayer must change those times when we feel a desire to protest against what's happening against us into times when we praise God for what is happening to us. And that's not easy, is it? I mean, let's be honest about it. Sister Mary, when you found out that you had cancer, did you feel like praising the Lord there right at the very moment? Not really, no. How about you, Sister Christy, when you found out you had leukemia? Did you feel like praising the Lord? You see, folks, that's our natural tendency. When we find out things that are disappointing, when we get bad news, when we hear something that's distressing, it's just natural for us to protest against God. God, why me? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? But when we go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to help us have a will which is in line with his will, that's when, folks, we can change our protests into praise. Folks, we believe God loves us. Amen. And we believe God will not allow anything to happen to us which is not for our ultimate good. Amen. We believe that. Sometimes it's a little hard to see that, but we walk by faith, not by sight. Right? So, prayer, by going to the Lord in prayer, that's how we can turn these times when we want to protest against the things that are happening to us or the things that we have seen or we see happening into times to praise the Lord. Prayer must change what I profess into what I practice. Let me tell you the story this morning of a man by the name of Edgar Drew and a little girl by the name of Nancy Collins. Edgar Drew is the pastor of a church down in Tennessee. And it was a Saturday afternoon, and like many of us, when it's not raining, Brother Edgar was out mowing his yard. And he was mowing in the backyard of his house there, and all of a sudden, Brother Edgar noticed the neighbor's dog chasing his little kitten up a tree. Brother Edgar had a nice, cute little black kitten that he thought a lot of, and this mean old neighbor's dog came running into the yard and scared this little kitten, and the little kitten scampered up the tree to get away from the dog. Well, Brother Edgar, he shut off his lawnmower and grabbed the neighbor's dog and took it back over and pinned it up in the neighbor's yard there so that it couldn't scare his little kitten. And then he came back to his yard, and he looked up, and there's this little kitten up in the tree, too high up in this tree for Brother Edgar to reach up there. And, well, how do I want to say this? Let me just say that Brother Edgar was too big to climb this little tree that the cat climbed up, okay? He knew that he was much too heavy for this little sapling-type tree that he had growing in the backyard. However, the kitten was up there too high for Brother Edgar to reach up to get, and Brother Edgar did not have a ladder. So Brother Edgar thought, how am I going to get that little kitten down? Because he tried everything. He kept saying, here, kitty, 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 here, kitty, 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 kitty. And the little kitten was just up there going, meow, meow, meow. The little kitten was frightened, you know. He didn't want to come down. Brother Edgar had a bright idea. I'll go get some milk, because the little kitten loved milk. You know, kittens, they love milk. So he went to the house and quickly got a saucer of milk and brought it out. Here, kitty, 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 kitty. And the little kitten was so scared, he could tell. And even the saucer of milk could not coax that little kitten to try climbing down this sapling-type tree. It was a terrible situation. What was Brother Edgar going to do to rescue his precious little black kitten? Well, folks, Brother Edgar knew what to do. He prayed. That's right, folks. He knew the solution to this problem was prayer. And so Brother Edgar got down on his knees and he prayed, Lord, show me how to get my kitten down out of that tree. Now, we'll get back to that story here in just a few minutes. But let's move on to point number two, in examination of what we cannot do in our lives, folks, without prayer. The first one was, if you were listening, was, I cannot have continuous joy without prayer. Have you ever noticed that, folks, before I move on to point number two? Have you ever had a time in life when you were so busy with things going on in your life, and you were so distracted that you noticed that you weren't really doing that much prayer? I mean, you weren't taking much time to pray. And have you ever noticed how maybe your attitude started to really slip and fall? Maybe you'd started to backslide? Folks, we need to stay in prayer, amen? We cannot be in a joyful mood if prayer is missing in our life. So let's go on to number two. Without prayer, I cannot receive God's help. Amen? Without prayer, I cannot receive God's help. Notice verse 19 says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. How did he know? What does it say in your Bible there, folks? He says, through your prayer. Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, can you see what follows prayer here on earth? What follows prayer here on earth? Power from heaven. That's what follows it, folks. It's kind of like when you turn a switch, you know? You turn the switch, that's like when we pray. And when you turn that switch, if there's gasoline in the tank and you got a battery that's up, all of a sudden there's power underneath that hood, right? Folks, when you pray here on earth, folks, it turns loose the power of God in heaven. And hallelujah for that, amen? You see the order? But there's no power from heaven released, folks, without turning the ignition switch with the prayer. So if you want the power of heaven in your life, folks, you've got to turn the switch by praying to the Lord. Does that make sense? Sure it does. You and I cannot have power from heaven if we don't take time to pray, folks. James 4:3 says this, you do not have. Why? Why does he say? Because you do not ask God. You don't have Because you haven't asked for it. You haven't asked God to supply what you need. You do not have. Prayer, folks, is the key that opens the storehouse of God's heavens. Amen? It's the key that opens the door, folks. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Now listen to this next part. This is what I reminded Brother Mike of whenever I was down at the hospital after he had received some news concerning the condition of his heart. Listen to what it says here. This is after we ask God to give us something, right? God's word then says, Jesus said, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So folks, when you ask God to give you something or to meet one of your needs, the answer to your prayer from God is always going to be good. Now, I know some of you, now wait a minute, Brother Dave, that's not true. Because I've prayed for some things in my life, and what I got back, I don't think it was good. I don't think it was good. Well, let me explain it this way. There's a lot of times little Christian wants things that I know are not for his good. Now, in his little mind, folks, he thinks it's for his good. He is convinced in his little mind, based on what he knows and what he's been exposed to in his short life, he believes when he sees something that he wants, he ought to have it. But his pawpaw, who's been around a lot longer and is a lot wiser than he is, knows that there's something better for him than what he wants right now. And that if I give him this right now, he probably won't get what he's going to get later on. Okay? So that's why sometimes I tell Christian, no, you don't need that. I've got something better for you later on, Christian. And that's the way our God works, folks. Sometimes God says no to what we ask for, but what he gives us is not a stone, it's not a snake, but it is for our good. But it all starts when we go to him and ask, right? We go to the Lord in prayer. Now, I want you to remember that if you don't take anything home, folks, from this message this morning, remember this, the Lord will not give you bad gifts. The Lord will not give you bad gifts. How do we know that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ promised us that when he said that. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? But you don't get those good gifts, folks, if you don't pray, if you don't ask. Amen? Does that make sense? All right. Now, what happened to Paul is very similar to what many people experience in life. He was imprisoned. He was held against his will. He was chained up to a guard 24 hours a day. And he was harassed by other people who thought that Paul was a fool. And all this preaching about this Jesus Christ was a bunch of nonsense. And how did Paul get through this difficult time of being imprisoned and being harassed and being told him that he didn't know what he was talking about and I don't want to hear about this Jesus? Have anybody ever experienced that? You try to tell people about Jesus and they just don't want to hear it. Don't talk to me about Jesus. Don't talk to me about the church. I don't want to hear about that. How do you get through a difficult time like that? How did Paul get through that? Prayer, folks. Prayer. How did Paul do? And it wasn't just Paul praying for himself, folks. Paul got through this difficult time of being held a prisoner in Rome because he knew that there were Christians in other parts of the world who cared about him and were praying for him. Isn't that what it said in the verse? He says, through your prayers. He was writing to the Christians in the Philippian church, and he said, it's through your prayers that I'm going to get through this. It's through your prayers that I'm going to be delivered by God through this difficult time. Yeah, it wasn't just Paul's prayers. It was the prayers of the Philippian Christians and other Christians around the world, people that Paul had led to faith in Christ. In order to see deliverance from the difficulties in life, folks, we must be people of prayer. We must be people of prayer. We must pray for one another. That's why we always close our services. Well, I shouldn't say always, because we did have one service, and thank God for Sister Sue. She reminded me after the service, we didn't have prayer at the altar, and we didn't that one Sunday, but that's one of the few times we didn't. We close, I'll say it this way, most of our services with a time of prayer. Whether it's prayer here at the altar for you or prayer out there in the seats, it doesn't make any difference. We close every service with prayer. And what do we do when we pray? We not only pray for our own needs, but we pray for others. Amen? We always ask for a prayer list out there. And even then, maybe we don't always pray for just the people on the list, but we pray for other people that we know need prayer. So we pray for one another. There is divine guidance. There is divine help when people get on their knees and pray. Point number three, without prayer, I cannot have courage in matters of life and death. Took a lot of courage to get through that initial few hours after you'd been told, didn't it, Christy? Any of you have had some very difficult times in life? It's hard to be brave and it's hard to be strong. But folks, you cannot be brave. You cannot be strong in times when life or death is on the line if you don't spend time in prayer. Notice what it says in verse 20 of our text this morning. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in body, whether by life or by death. Folks, we need courage for living and for dying. It takes a lot of courage to get through this life. Did you know what, folks? You're a brave person. You may not understand that. You may not even appreciate that, or you may not even know that about yourself, but you are a brave person. To simply get out of your bed every morning and go through each day takes courage. Now, how can I say that? Because I know some of you are thinking, I'm not a very brave person. In fact, I think I'm almost a chicken. No, folks, I'm here to tell you, you've got courage, because there are some people who don't have that courage, who have mental weaknesses, and all they can do is sit in a chair or lie in bed, and it's not a physical thing, it's a mental thing. They don't have courage to do things in life. They can't really function in life. So it takes courage to get out and face all the difficulties and all the dangers of life that we face. So you have courage, but folks, we can have more courage if we spend time asking the Lord for the courage we need to go through time. Courage is fear that has been said in prayers. Listen to what it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They saw these men had been with Jesus. Folks, courage is found when we get with Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? Courage, no matter what you may be facing, if you want to be strong and if you want to be brave in the face of life or death situations, in the face of difficult times in life, if you want to be a courageous Christian, you cannot be if you don't get with Jesus. We need to get with Jesus in prayer. Point number four, without prayer, I cannot live like Jesus. Without prayer, I cannot live a life that is pleasing to Jesus. In verse 21, it says, "For to me to live is Christ." In other words, to live like Christ is to live as he lived. Now, none of us can do it, right? None of us can do it perfectly. We're all sinners. But Jesus was perfect in everything he said and did, didn't he? Okay? And that is why many young people embrace the WWJD and bracelets and so on like that. What does WWJD stand for? What would Jesus do? That's a good little symbol for us to think about. I think you've got a bracelet, haven't you? Yeah, right there, WWJD. So you got one too? 4 years, okay, see? Everything we think to say, everything we think to do, that's a question. If it's a choice that we make, what would Jesus do in this situation? See, it's our desire to live a life like Jesus lived. Now, we're never going to do it perfectly, but that's still our goal, to live a life like Jesus lived. And we know that it's impossible to live like Jesus without praying like Jesus. Jesus was a man of prayer, was he not? So if we want a WWJD, then we've got to spend time in prayer. Let's get back to Brother Edgar and his kitten up there in a tree and find out what's going to go on here. Brother Edgar had prayed for direction on how to get his little black kitten down out of the sapling tree. Little kitten was high up there in the sapling tree, and the sapling was just, well, it was just too weak for Brother Edgar to climb up there, and he didn't have a ladder, and he'd asked for the Lord to give him direction on how to get this kitten down. And just then, he had an inspiration. Was it from God? Well, only God knows for sure, but this was the inspiration. He ran to the garage, and he grabbed a rope. And then he went around to the front, to the car, and he got in the car and drove the car around to the backyard. Brother Edgar then took the rope and made a lasso, and he and threw it up there towards the top of the tree, and the lasso caught on one of the branches up there near the top of the tree and snagged. So then Brother Edgar took the other end of the rope and tied it to the bumper of his car. Brother Edgar got into the car and started it up. He put the car in drive and slowly began to drive away. Now, why was Brother Edgar doing this? Because he wanted to pull the tree down just enough so that he could eventually then just simply reach up and grab hold of the little kitten, and it would be safe and sound in his arms again. Well, the idea seemed to be working perfectly, because as Brother Edgar was slowly pulling the car away, the rope was pulling the top of the tree down, down, down. It looked like everything was going fine. Brother Edgar looked in the rearview mirror to look back there, and he began to see the top of the tree coming down towards the ground. And it looked like it was going to work fine. But as he drove the car a little bit further, suddenly the rope broke. And the tree went boing, just like a slingshot. And you guessed it, the little black kitten sailed through the air and out of sight. Brother Edgar felt terrible. He walked all over the neighborhood asking people if they had seen his little black kitten. No, nobody'd seen the kitten. Nobody had any idea where Brother Edgar's kitten was. So again, Brother Edgar thought, the solution to my problem is, what is it, folks? Prayer, right? So Brother Edgar prayed. He prayed, "Lord, I don't know where my little kitten went. Lord, I just commit this little kitten to your keeping, Lord. Lord, I believe that you have the power to keep my little kitten safe and to take care of it. And so I commit this little kitten to your care, Lord." And then Brother Edgar went home and started up his regular routines of business, forgetting all about his kitten, because he knew the Lord would not let him down with his little kitten. The Lord would take care of his kitten. Let's move on to point number 5. Without prayer, I cannot see fruit for my labor. Without prayer, I cannot see fruit for my labor. If I want to do anything for the glory of Jesus Christ, if I want to do anything, like for instance, this radio station, I can't begin to tell you how many hours I've spent in research and in trying to get things put up and figure out exactly where things ought to go and everything. But folks, to see labor and fruit for that labor, it all was started by prayer, and it was continued through prayer. I cannot begin to tell you how many times I prayed about this radio project, and I know some of you folks have been praying about it too, haven't you? You see, I cannot see fruit for my labor without prayer. And verse 22 says, "But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor." We have an enemy, don't we? We do. We have an enemy. And what's his name, folks? Satan, or the old devil. You see, the old devil, he doesn't want us to be fruitful in our works. The old devil wants to find a way to stop this radio project from reaching people in the Bone Gap area with our messages and with Christian music. The old devil wants to stop that. He wants to put an end to that. And whatever it is you are led by the Lord to do for the glory of Jesus Christ, the old devil, when he finds out about it, folks, you can count on it, he's going to try to find a way to stop it. Count on it. The old devil's not going to just stand back and watch you doing things for the glory of Jesus Christ. He's going to try to stop it. So how do we stop the devil? Well, listen to what it says in Ephesians 6:18. It tells us the way to stop the old devil. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." It's prayer, folks. That's how we put the old devil in his place when he comes against us. It's prayer. When the old devil is trying to defeat you, friend, when the old devil is trying to keep whatever you're doing for Jesus to be fruitful, pray. Start it with prayer. Continue it with prayer. Finish it with prayer. Prayer. It's prayer. Now, we have to do the work, yes. But John 15:16 says, You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. See, Jesus says you got to ask the Father in my name, and he'll give it to you when you're doing things for the fruit of your labor. How are we going to do the work that Jesus has called us to do, folks? Prayer. I guarantee you this. If you ever set out to do something for this church, or set out to do something that you believe will bring glory to the honor of Jesus Christ, if you don't bathe it in prayer, folks, the chances are it's not going to be successful. It's not going to be successful. The secret to all failure is to fail to pray. If you want to see some project or something for the glory of Jesus fail, then you just forget to pray, and that's about the way it'll end up, a failure. Point number six, without prayer, I cannot find direction. Without prayer, I cannot find direction for my life. Verses 22 through 24, I won't take time to read that there in the interest of time here this morning, but clearly these verses are talking about direction in life. Some choices are easier to make than others, aren't they? There are some choices, though, that you do not have to pray about. For example, I don't have to pray about whether I should steal, right? I mean, if I'm tempted to steal something, should I pray? Now, wait a minute, Lord. Is it okay for me to steal this? No, we already know that. God's word makes it very clear. We're not to steal, right? So there's no sense in praying whether we ought to steal something. God's word already tells us that's wrong. I know it's against God's law to steal. But not every decision is black and white, is it? Some decisions we have to make are not clearly answered in the Bible. But the most difficult decisions we must make are the ones where we might have two good options and we have to pick the best one. That was kind of like the situation on the frequency for this radio station. I found in the beginning about a half a dozen frequencies that would work here in the Bone Gap area, or so it seemed at the time. And I went back and forth, Lord, which one do you want me to use? I mean, I want to use the frequency, Lord, that you want me to use, but I want to use the frequency also that's going to be the clearest and that's going to be potentially the easiest for people to listen to and not have as much interference as other frequencies. And it was difficult. Now, you reckon that the Bible, there's any verses on there that would tell me which frequency of the radio to use? No. There's nothing in there in the Bible that says use 101.1 frequency on the FM dial. So I can't go to the Bible for that direction. I've got to go to the Lord in prayer, right? Because one of these frequencies is better than the others. Again, there were six at the time that looked good, but only one really was the one. And so I spent a lot of time praying about this. And eventually the Lord led me to the right computer program and the right website to help me on this, and it came up with 101.1. But folks, I know this. I just know this. I would have never come upon the answer without a lot of prayer and without a lot of you folks praying too. So we cannot find direction in our lives without prayer. I know Brother Jim right now, he's wrestling with, when am I going to get to plant some crops? And when is it going to be right to get the old planter out there? When is it going to be dry enough? Well, Brother Jim's never going to know if he don't spend time in prayer. Sister Marge might tell him, but she might be wrong. But the Lord won't be, amen? Whatever it is in your life, folks, you got to pray. Point number seven, without prayer, I cannot contribute to the spiritual growth of others. I and you cannot contribute to the spiritual growth of other Christians if we don't pray for them and if we don't pray for direction in our lives. Verses 25 and 26 tell us this. The most rewarding prayers, folks, are the ones that we pray for other people. The most rewarding prayers we pray are for other people. We need to spend less time praying, oh God, bless me. Oh God, keep blessing me, Lord. We need to spend less time praying that way and spend more time, oh God, bless Sister Sue. Oh God, bless Sister Marge. Oh God, bless Brother Charlie. That's what we ought to spend more time praying for, folks. The best thing we can do, folks, for both unsaved and saved people is to pray for them. Amen? Spend more time praying for one another. Well, let's get back to Brother Edgar's kitten story. It was now Monday. Now, remember, he had been He'd been mowing his yard on Saturday afternoon when all of a sudden his kitten went sailing clean out of sight. Now it was Monday, and Brother Edgar was at the grocery store. And there he met Agnes Collins, one of his church members. He looked in her shopping cart as they were standing there talking, and he was amazed to see that she had a bag of cat food. Now, Brother Edgar knew Agnes Collins well enough to know that she was a person who hated cats. Everyone in town, in fact, seemed to know that Agnes Collins hated cats. So, Brother Edgar, like you and I, was curious enough to know why she had that cat food. So, he finally says, "Now, Sister Agnes, why are you buying cat food? I know that you hate cats." She replied, "Brother Edgar, you won't believe this. My granddaughter Nancy has been begging for a kitten for a long, long time. But I kept telling her, no way, we're not having any cats in this house." Well, Brother Edgar, again, you're not going to believe this, but she was at my house last Saturday afternoon, and she had been asking me again for a kitten. And finally, out of desperation, I said, "Well, if Jesus gives you a cat, then I'll let you keep it." Brother Edgar, little Nancy, she went out there on the porch, and she got down on her knees, and she asked Jesus to give her a kitten. And Pastor, you won't believe this, but all of a sudden, I saw with my own eyes, suddenly a kitten came sailing through the air and landed right there on the porch in front of little Nancy. What's the moral of this story? Well, I think we can get two morals from this story. Number one, prayer works. And number two, never underestimate the power of God. Never underestimate the power of God. Folks, in closing this morning, I say we must be people of prayer. I don't care whatever it is we want to do in life. We must be people of prayer. Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher of long ago, was one time asked the secret to his success in the ministry. And he responded this way. He said, "My people pray for me. My people pray for me." Folks, if you want to go to a church where the preacher is successful in preaching the gospel message, you need to be praying for me. If we want to see one another used in effective ministries for the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever we are, whatever we're doing to try to lead other unsaved people to salvation, we need to be praying for one another. We need to be people of prayer. Let's go to the Lord right now in prayer. Lord, we do thank you that you hear when we pray. We are grateful, Lord, that we don't have to worry about busy phone lines, cell phones that don't work, that don't have service in certain places, but Lord, that we can simply speak and you hear, and the connection is perfect. Oh Lord, help us to be more mindful of our need to pray. Help us, Lord, to be, as your word says, pray without ceasing. Help us, Lord, to be less dependent upon our own abilities and strengths, and more dependent upon you. This we ask in Jesus' name, and amen.